Well, we're going to have a different type of message this morning. If you would, turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I've entitled the message, What is Inspiration? And I know the concept is God breathed, but exactly how did God give us the Bible? There are a number of different passages in the Bible that we're going to go to. But I want you to understand there's something special that God does to put the Bible in our hands. And I want you to think, how on earth could we be what we were supposed to be if we didn't have a book that told us what God wanted us to be and how He wanted us to do the things He calls us to do? Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to start with verse 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read the remainder of the chapter. And it says, But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child, remember, this is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to Timothy. It says, And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and mercy. And there's a special lesson about this. And Lord, there's so many places we could go in the Bible where we get an illustration of how You gave the Scriptures. And Lord, I pray for You just to move in a special way. You've got a message for Your people. And Lord, I have well within my power to mess it all up if I get in Your way. Lord, I pray that You won't let me do that. Lord, You'll help me get out of the way and let Your Holy Spirit be the teacher, the preacher today. And Lord, we want You to do something special to help us understand that this book that we hold in our hand is nothing short of a miracle. And Lord, I thank You for giving it to us. I thank You for the way You put it together. Lord, we ask You to move in a mighty way in our midst today. For it's in the holy name, that mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I think it's interesting as we get into this particular passage that the Apostle Paul is writing, and the first thing he writes about as he's introducing this last portion of how we got the Scriptures is he says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. One of the things that we see in our day and time is deception is running rampant. Deception is everywhere you turn. You can't even turn on the news and get a fair shake on what's going on. They spin everything, even public broadcasting stations, they spin everything the way they want it because they've got an agenda. I want you to know God is warning us in this passage. The Apostle Paul was warning Timothy about evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse as we get closer to the end times. But look at what it says in he's saying that this is what's going on, but look at verse 14. It says, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What he's saying is the fact that, Timothy, I taught you well. I taught you how to do it. I taught you the things you ought to do and the things you ought not to do, the type of person you need to be. And he's saying, you continue in what I've taught you. Now I want you to understand, I understand that as a pastor a little better, I think, than maybe you guys do, because my job as a pastor is to set the example. It's to set the example and teach. And it weighs heavy on the pastor because that's his responsibility. And if I go astray, I'll stand accountable because you might go astray. And what we see here is the fact that the Apostle Paul's saying, hey, I'm doing it right. I'm following the Lord. I want you to follow the Lord just like I'm following the Lord. But look at what it says in verse 15. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this. The Apostle Paul's talking to Timothy. I don't believe Timothy had the writings of Moses, except for copies. But those copies, the Apostle Paul said, are the Holy Scriptures. You and I today, we don't have the writings that came from the Mount Sinai, but we do have copies. And an exact copy is just as valid as the original. That's what Paul's saying. And he's saying that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Where? How do you get saved? The best way for a soul winner to win someone to Christ is to use God's book. That's what it's talking about. It's saying, hey, this is what you need to use. And the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, is what makes the difference in the heart. But it says, goes on to say, able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And look at verse 16 that says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I'm just going to stop there a minute. A lot of people say it's a waste of time to read the Bible. I got news for you. They're wrong. They're wrong. Reading the book makes a difference. Even if you don't understand what you're reading, it's God's spiritual soap to keep us clean. Jesus said, ye are made clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Just imagine, even if you don't understand it, reading, or you don't even retain it, guess what? It's scrubbing you clean spiritually. And that's what God uses. But it says here, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? I'm going to go through four things here. It says profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, what it's saying is the fact that for doctrine, it means what's right. Doctrine is a word that we use. It means teaching, the way you taught. And the key is, when you're taught from the Bible properly, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul here is saying, and the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul is saying, that the Holy Scripture is profitable for doctrine. So it teaches you what's right. For reproof. How do you know what's wrong? Because it teaches you what's wrong. So it teaches you what's wrong, or what's right, it teaches you what's wrong. Then the next one, it says, for correction. What's that talking about? That's talking about correcting what's wrong. Okay? So it teaches you what's right, teaches you what's wrong. It teaches you how to correct what's wrong. And it says instruction in righteousness. It refers to the fact on how to keep it right. All four of those we need. We need to understand this. And by the way, I like the fact that it says all Scripture. This morning we in Sunday school we've been reading about the details about the temple, and sometimes it's hard to keep our concentration on things like that. We really have trouble sometimes finding a lesson in there, but it says that Scripture, even though we might not understand it, might not get a blessing out of it like we think we should, it's still inspired. All Scripture is inspired. But look at what it says in verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. For me to be the pastor, the man of God, for Bible Baptist Church, I need a perfect book. Okay? How on earth am I going to teach a congregation here at the church if I don't know what God wants? If I don't know what He doesn't want? And if there's so many people who say, well, the Scriptures are lacking, we need to correct them, we need to write our own translation, I've got news for you. You'll never, if I ever get to saying anything contrary to the King James Bible, I'm ready for a rubber room. Okay? The book is without flaw, unlike this preacher. But the truth is, it says all scripture, and if I don't have, as a pastor, how am I going to teach the church if I've got a flawed book? And if it's got a mistake in it, who's inspired enough to find it? You see the problem? And so I'm glad that God tells us that all Scripture is inspired. But let's go someplace else. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And here we see, and I've heard a lot of the things that people say and how they criticize the Bible, but what we see is the fact that there's something here in this particular passage that helps us understand the value of the Word of God. Start with we'll read 15 and following. It says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. That's why Peter's writing this passage. He doesn't want it to be lost when he dies. It says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Remember, they saw Jesus. They were with Jesus for 3 years. They saw Him crucified. They saw Him after He rose from the dead. It says, for He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Remember, Peter was on top of that mountain with Jesus along with John and James. Look at verse 18. It says, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount. But look at what it says in verse 19. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star shine arise in your heart. What he's saying here is we have a more sure word of prophecy than even hearing God speak from heaven. You say, preacher, that's crazy. That's what he's saying. What is he saying? That the book we have in our hands, the words of Almighty God, is more valuable than being on the mountain and hearing God speak from heaven. Why? Because we have all the things that God wants us to know written down. And then look at verse 20 and 21. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. You ever hear anybody say, that's your interpretation? I don't have an interpretation. I just let God speak for himself. It's his interpretation. It's a literal interpretation. If the Bible says, thou shalt not, don't try to spiritualize it. Thou shalt not means thou shalt not. Amen. Amen? If it says the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, guess what that means? The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. It's not that hard. But people, I remember what Mark Twain said about the Bible. He said, it's not the things in the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the things that I do understand. And that's the way most people are when it comes to reading the Bible. But what we need to do is to remember that the Bible is given for us and it's profitable. There's not one time you're going to open the book and it's not going to be profitable for you. You may not understand how it helps, but guaranteed it will help. Look at verse 21. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, it doesn't say that they wrote. It says that they spake. You know, there are places in the Bible that state that Jeremiah said something, but you look in the book of Jeremiah and it doesn't say anything about that. Why is that? Because it doesn't give us everything he spoke. It just gives us everything he wrote. Let's go someplace else. Go to Romans chapter 9. This is an interesting passage here. And it says, verse 16, it says, So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Look at verse 17. It says, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh. Let's stop there. Who spoke to Pharaoh? Well, first off, it was God that spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to Pharaoh. But the scripture says the scripture spoke to Moses. Spoke to Pharaoh. Now, how does that work, preacher? Now you're starting to understand the fact that God does things that we can't figure out. Okay? I'm glad it's a book that's supernaturally written, it's supernaturally protected, and it supernaturally works in our hearts to draw us to Christ. But it also is being supernaturally attacked in our world today, in the corruption of the modern Bibles and things like that. We have to understand that there's something special about this book. Don't try to correct it. Don't try to change it. Let it do its work in your heart and mind, and we'll be that much the better. But let's go somewhere else. Go Go to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, and let's look at verse 1. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. Well, we'll stop there. Don't need to read it all. A lot of people don't realize that Nebuchadnezzar wrote part of your Bible. How did he do that? God inspired Nebuchadnezzar that portion of the Bible. And by the way, it's an amazing account of how Nebuchadnezzar got saved. What we see in inspiration is the fact that God used numerous ways to inspire the book. If you recall, when Moses was up on the mount and got the tables, the tablets of stone, the Bible, if you study it out, the Bible says that those stones, the first time, were written by the finger of God. Probably it would have taken Moses a little while to carve out those stones, so God decided, I'll save you some time there, buddy. But let's go somewhere else. Go to Jeremiah chapter 36. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, I don't understand everything about inspiration. I don't think anybody can except God. But there's things that God did supernaturally, and the truth is, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, what good is it if God inspired the book, the particular writings from Moses, or from Paul, or James, or John, or David, if they weren't preserved? Inspiration without preservation is not going to help us an ounce. God had to preserve His Word. He promised to preserve His Word in Psalm 12, 6 and 7. And what we have is a book that He preserved. But look at what it says here, and I'm going to skip over a little bit here. Look at verse 1 and 2 in Jeremiah 36, and it says, And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day that I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. Do you realize that inspiration included Jeremiah's memory? Now, either Jeremiah had a greater memory than I've ever had, or God helped him. But let's look at something else. Look at verse 3 and 4. It says, It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. So now we don't even have Jeremiah writing them down. We have inspiration, including Jeremiah's memory, and then the writings of Baruch. You see, the problem that we have is if we nail down and say, well, inspiration has to do this way, or inspiration has to do that way, we have a problem. And the truth is, God did what he did in a marvelous fashion when he put this book together. That's why it's still the most hated book in the world. It's the most popular book in the world by those that love it, but it's also the most hated book by those that don't like Jesus. But let's look a little farther. Look at verse 23 and 21 and following. It says, so the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass when Jehudi read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Now, we're talking about the king cutting this and burning it, because if we look at verse 27, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king burned the roll. But now we got a problem. The word of God's burned up. Got a problem. How are we going to get it back? God's not, and what we need to remember is God's not limited by what men do.
Right.
Don't think that God's going to ever be limited by what people do. I'm glad I've got a God that's greater than all the men that have ever lived put together. So how do you get the words back? Well, let's look at what happens. And verse number 28. It says, take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. What? And he's going to write it again? Not just that. But let's look at verse 32. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch, the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. God said, no problem. I'll give them back and I'll add some to them. Now, how does he do that? He's God. There's nothing that limits him. If he wants you to have a Bible, like I said, we need it because it's profitable. It's what we need for life. It's what we need to live and please him. I don't understand how he gave it. I mean, if you go to Daniel chapter 12, which I'm not going to, but Daniel chapter 12, Daniel's asking a question to God while he's writing the scriptures, and God says, write it down, and he had him write it down, the same thing. And Daniel's saying, what do these things mean, basically? And the Lord said, don't worry about it. Paraphrasing, don't worry about it, Daniel. It's sealed to the time of the end. Let's go one more place. Go to Romans chapter 16.
And let's start with verse number 19. It says, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you." Look at verse 22. And says, "I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord." You mean Paul didn't write the book of Romans?
Nope.
But we've all heard of Tertius, right? You see the problem that we have when we try to nail down the way God brought the book about? How dangerous is it for these people that try to change the book? And I'm glad that I've been taught to respect the book, to take it for what it says, and don't try to change it, don't try to manipulate it. It's God's book, and it came just as marvelously to mankind as the Lord Jesus came. It was a miracle for his birth. And I believe if we study out the Word of God, it's a miracle book that only God could have produced and preserved. And why would God do that? Because he wants everybody to realize that there's a book that, I say it this way sometimes, we've got a perfect book that tells us about our perfect Savior, who has prepared a perfect place for imperfect people. And I'm glad he loves us. Don't get caught up in what other people say when they tell you that, "Well, I don't believe that old book." Pray for them. That's what they need. They need your prayers. When they criticize God's book, guess what? They need your prayers. Because not only are they criticizing the book, they're criticizing the God of the book and the Savior of the book. I'm glad that I've got a book that tells me things about my special Savior. And it also tells me how to get to heaven. And that's what Paul was saying to Timothy. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You want to get saved? This book will help. It'll make the difference. The only way you're going to get saved, it's outlined in the book. It also outlines where you spend eternity if you don't get saved. I'm glad I've got a book that the word inspiration we throw around today, we see pictures and gorgeous scenes of nature, and people call it inspirational. They just don't understand what the word inspired means. Inspiration means God did it. And I'm glad God gave me a book that he put together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. What a blessing it is. Lord, I thank you for this precious book. I thank you for the fact that it tells me what I need to know. It tells me what I need to avoid. It tells me about the things that the devil tries to do. It tells me about my sweet Savior and all that he went through
to save my wretched soul. Lord, I pray for you just to move in a special way. Use the invitation for your glory and our good. For it's in the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen.